This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Hour two of the Home Improvement Show. I want to welcome in 97.1 listeners also. You guys can find me here, same number as KMOX, 314-436-7900. Anything you got going on around your house, plenty of time. We got another hour to come. We got Michael on the line with us. So, Michael, what do you have today?
Yeah, I was just calling in because I was kind of wondering. I don't know much about plumbing, but it seemed like that guy has tried everything with his water hammer issue.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I was just kind of, it might be a long shot, but could the pressure regulator, which is probably the most common fix, could that part have been possibly bad?
Well, so he has said that he changed it, and when he changed the part and it was still happening, he eliminated it and basically took the pressure regulator off to see if that would stop it from happening, and that didn't stop. So it seems like whether it was bad before the new one was working or not, or you don't even have it, you know, he still had that going on. So
yeah, I just wanted to mention maybe it's a long shot that a new part is actually bad.
That is a good thought, because if you've ever change batteries in something for what you thought were, you know, they're brand new batteries, but they're dead, you know, right out of the package or whatever. So,
yeah,
that is a long shot, but could be another step in elimination to see if getting a third one would help. That might be when it gets that bad, you get desperate, you get into whatever you can. That's for sure.
Yeah, sometimes plumbing to me is opening up a can of worms.
It very well can be, and is definitely one of the hardest things to figure out some of the oddities in no pressure in one faucet, but all the rest are fine, and water hammer and all the things that can happen to it. It definitely gets difficult to narrow down. It's a hard road to go down to find, you know, solving some of these issues. But hey, Michael, appreciate the thought,
and thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for calling. And we've got Derek on the line. Derek, can you hear me?
Yes, I can you hear me?
I can. How are you, Derek? Thanks for calling back.
Sure. Great day, and happy birthday to your mother.
Oh, I appreciate that. So does she.
So anyway, we've got some property, and we want to build a new home. We're currently living in a Wausau home that was built in the late 70s and love it, but they don't deliver this far south anymore. And I was wondering if you had any advice on quality of various either kit home or prefab home manufacturers. There's a lot of choices at Menards and such, and do you have any experience with those?
I do not have any experience with the kit homes, that sort of product, but I would definitely look deeply into what's done to keep the elements out. That seems to be one of the biggest issues with new homes, how they're constructed, how they're built. And the good thing for you with if you're looking at like a kit home like that, is most of those homes are simpler in size and style, and you know, so when you're building have a home design, they're trying to make it look a certain way, so they do different roof pitches and different levels, and then you get into how do the people actually construct it to keep the air, the water, all of the elements out. That's the biggest factor. So the simplicity of it helps a little bit, of just less opportunity for that to happen. But that would be my biggest information for you on research when looking into them, is what's behind the siding, what's behind the seams when they connect it, and how this comes together, and what kind of warranty, and does anything include any type of leaks in that? Because that's the biggest issue I see, that I would say pay attention to that.
All right, I appreciate that, because the Wausau home that we live in, we just absolutely love it. It's held up extremely well, and it was built in a week, you know, from the foundation to move in. So I'm all about that, too. So.
Yeah, no, that is definitely a good thing, because homes can take so long to build, and when you're waiting on different subcontractors and you get delays, I see them all the time where I'll see people and there's a home getting built three doors up, and they're like, it's been 9 months and they're still not in that thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Hey, I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. Just watch out for that. What's on the outside of that, and what are they doing for that, would be my biggest chunk of advice for you.
All right.
All right, great. Thanks, Derek. Appreciate it. Yep. And for everybody else out there, we've got a lot of show left. Anything you got going on, 314-436-7900. And I was just meeting yesterday with a client that was basically looking at a home that was flooded and wanted to kind of investigate. You know, when you do that and you're purchasing a home that needs a lot of work, and kind of the AKA flip home, well, he was trying to kind of decide, do I do something more for me and maybe my daughter could live in it and we make this place better, or do I kind of try and flip it, and I'm looking at it as a return on investment. And you really got to watch like what you get the home for and how much you're going to put into it, obviously, to try and maximize any return on investment. But when you're looking at a company like Mosby Building Arts that has so many different things that we do and levels of service and apps that we use to deliver information, and we communicate differently, and you see a construction schedule and you know dates, and we monitor on-time completion ratings and all the different things that we do for a level of service to the client, that can be a difficult fit. And we were having a really great conversation and kind of turned to what I was just kind of warning Derek about to really focus on and look at when he then said to me, is there maybe a piece of this that you might think that Mosby would be a great fit for? And to his surprise and probably a lot of people's surprise, I went immediately to the outside and said, well, this home being of this age, and since a lot of drywall and insulation's out, I can see the blackboard on the outside. I can see how this home has been put together. I know with the age, it isn't wrapped and flashed and doesn't have all the protections. I said, really, if you were going to pick one spot and you were fixing this up for your daughter, I would put us on the siding, the soffit, the fascia, the gutters, the siding, and what's behind that siding, how it's wrapped and flashed and protected, and get a warranty that's going to include any future leaks and just really the protection. Would I love to remodel the kitchen? Absolutely. We do hundreds of them, and the bathrooms, but you could have the best interior of the home and really get the best quality and have us do all this. But if you're not protected from the outside, and I've done it myself, I've seen it where I have to come into a home and say, yep, we have to take out your cabinets, your countertop, your backsplash tile. We got to rip into this wall because someone replaced a window that ended up leaking into the kitchen wall. And now there's mold and drywall needs to come out and insulation needs to come out. And you got to fix that, contain it, flash the window so it won't leak, and rebuild a kitchen. You could have the best kitchen out there. Who wants to rebuild it 3 years, 5 years, any years later? So he was kind of surprised when I said that, but I'm like, let's protect this from the outside in. If you're going to do this for your daughter, let's look at that. And then you can use your side job people and your nights and weekend people and do the flip thing and get the inside working and functioning. But you know that you're absolutely protected, and what you've done inside will be protected the best way possible. And not everybody out there can deliver that. So maybe in the next segment, we'll talk a little bit about the questions and speaking with different contractors and what maybe you should be saying and trying to figure out. So we're going to get into our first break here. Plenty more to come when we return. If you got anything for me, again, 314-436-7900. We'll be right back.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are back. KMOX Home Improvement here for you. Rich Orris, your host, answering everything today. We got some great questions today. Got plenty of show left for everybody. You can join the conversation at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. And speaking of which, we've got Buddy on the line. Hey, my buddy, how you doing? Can you hear me?
I'm doing great. How are you? Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Yeah, appreciate you calling. What do you got going on?
So I was listening to your show, and I got a kind of a dilemma, kind of like what you were talking about, where I have an older home built in the 50s, and it's a ranch-style house.
Uh-huh.
Garage on its outside is a slab garage, which is kind of falling apart. I need to get replaced. And so I'm on that dilemma part of, do I need new siding? I need a new roof. I need to probably take the roof all the way down and check the wood, put new gutters on. So we're debating on, do we make it our own and stay there and live there? We're older, in our 60s.
And yeah.
Debating on, do we do that, go that route, or do I just facial fix it up and then rent it out and find another home?
Sure. Yeah, there's a lot to figure out there. for kind of the forever home thing. Because like I was talking about, it's good to make sure you got a good quality exteriors person that can do it such a quality job so that you don't have to worry about the inside. You don't have to worry about problems and leaks and all that. But then you also, in your situation, now you're looking at, and this is one of the biggest kind of types of jobs we're starting to see more and more of from 2022-23 and now in 24, of how do I age in place, how do I stay in my home for longer. Right. So you've got a lot to think of. Is it a ranch? How easy do you get around? Is it a two-story home? You know,
just a ranch.
Making that plan, yeah, along with the rest is definitely a good idea to figure out, you know, what's on that list, what do you need to accomplish, what would help. And the other thing that I've kind of gotten to the point where I recommend a lot, especially with what I call aging in place. And this, the aging in place can start at 30, 50, 60, however, but thinking of far into the future, but not hesitating to do the projects that once you make the decision, you know, don't have hesitation in performing these projects. Do them right away, even if you think it's something you may not need for 5 years or 10 years. It's going to cost less, and if anything were to happen to accelerate something, you may need it sooner than you think. So performing that right away is a great idea once you've figured out the path and made the decision. Something we do, what I've done a lot over the years at Mosby Building Arts when looking at projects like this and designing something, and design doesn't always mean, when we say design, it doesn't always mean how does it look or how does it lay out or what are the colors. That's a part of it to understand and need to know how to do a project and what has to happen and how to price it. But there's also the studying and the feasibility of what needs to be done. How do we perform it? How do we get in and out of the house? How do we do every part and piece of the puzzle? So we've done these, what I call a master plan. And sometimes it's kind of set that house up for everything you're thinking. And it still might be done in pieces where you go, okay, well, I'm going to do a lot of this, the stuff that keeps me in my home, the projects that keep me there for a long time right away. And if I need some gaps or some space because of time, investment, how we get through projects, maybe that siding and that portion is done in a year or two or three, but you're doing the stuff that if you were to get into a car accident and break a leg would help you immediately. Even though you thought, I won't need a grab bar for 5 or 10 years. But then something like that happens and you might need that grab bar next week.
Right.
You know? But yeah, getting with somebody that knows, understands, educates, and explains well, so you know what you're getting and how it's going to help you. Then once you know all of that and what that costs, you can then make that decision. Is it worth it? Do I stay? Where do I go? What do I do? But it is between moving and fixing it up, that's what 75% of the people performing work on their house, that's their dilemma. So you're in a big club.
a fantastic club. That's what I want to be in.
yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely. Good to figure out.
My other biggest worry too is that I'm not sure, being an older house built in the 50s, that I know there's slat shingle underneath the siding, and I'm not sure if it's asbestos slat shingle or not. How would I go about finding that out?
So you can get in there. Does it have vinyl siding on top of it, I guess?
Yeah, like aluminum siding, actually.
Oh, okay. So we'd have to find a spot to get back there and cut a piece of that off and send it in with, like, an environmental company to get tested.
Okay. So, and is that something Mosby does?
Yes. Yeah, we definitely do. Well, we could do it through the designing process. Like, it could be a one of those steps. So, again, it was like, designing doesn't always mean what color and shape and size and door style or the kitchen cabinets, but also in that feasibility part of the design, we can do that, send a piece of siding off to Wellington Environmental, have them test it and find out if there's asbestos, because they will, to do that properly, you have to get that off there. So it's either not asbestos and then it's great, we could just do it, or we need to bring in like Wellington or somebody to get that off of there and dispose of it properly and safely.
Right.
And it's fine. It can be done. It just adds expense. So it'll add into that knowledge of, is this worth staying or not? But definitely a house built in the 50s, if it's been standing there and you've been doing pretty good, and it's probably has really good bones, mm-hmm. and can literally be better off starting with remodeling and staying in there than going to something brand new built last year, 2 years ago. If it's not a quality build, that's much worse than a good bone 1950s home for sure.
Okay.
So, lot to think about.
Yep.
All right.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You are very welcome. Appreciate the call. Great conversation. Very interesting. This is what most people are doing. So we're going to jump into our break here. Maria, if you could hold the line through the break real quick, we'll get to you as soon as we return. For everybody, we'll have another half hour here going. So plenty to go over, talk about, plenty of calls we can get in. 314-436-7900. Stay with us. All right, we're back. Camo X Home Improvement Show. Everything you need around and about your house, inside and out, we can help you out. Give us a call today, 314-436-7900. And we've got Maria on the line. Thanks for holding through the break. Maria, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, you are welcome.
So I use a reputable basement company because I had a leak in a part of my basement floor. And it's a small leak.
Okay.
Very rare leak. So when they came in, they repaired the walls. There were some cracks. The home inspector, the city of O'Fallon, said that, you know, I caught it in time. However, after I had the drywall reinstalled, it leaked again. It's at the bottom of where the wall meets the floor. And then when I report, the company's really responsive.
Uh-huh.
So he's something about hydrostatic, I can't think of the word.
Yeah, hydrostatic pressure.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're going to come back to figure out how to resolve this issue. But I'm just wondering, with my fixing the landscaping on the outside, because I know it slants towards the wall. Would that help, or what do you think the solution is going to be with them that leak?
Yeah. So let me ask you real quick, when they fixed the wall, do you know what they did to the wall? Did they do an epoxy injection on the crack?
Epoxy injection to the cracks. I have four metal plates installed and tied down, you know, outside.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah, basically the answer from the inside for the foundation repair company is going to be a sump pump.
Because I have a sump pump at the other corner of the house.
You have one at the other corner of the house?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know if it has a perimeter drain that runs all the way around the whole basement?
That I don't know. I'm not the original homeowner.
Okay. So it may not. So they may have used it just on one part of the house and put some drain tile to get some water away. It's very common that they'll do one wall or two walls just where the issues are occurring. So that may have happened prior, and if it doesn't run all the way around the basement, it won't pick up the water with the hydrostatic pressure from the other side. But your thoughts on the landscape are a very good idea, because water's going to run to the path of least resistance. When it gets down around the footings, the hydrostatic pressure happens, and it comes up from underneath the floor, and it's because of the weight of the concrete, the house, the walls, the foundation. The weight pushing down forces the water up. So it comes in between the wall and the floor, and that's what your sump pump's meant to do. They run the pipe through there. It goes over to a pit. There's a sump pump that sends the water out. So the least resistance for that pressure now is inside that pipe with holes in it, and then the water goes to the pit and off it goes. If you can stop or eliminate the water from getting there, that would also correct it. So it's definitely a good idea. If it's possible, you could do some French drains outside along the foundation wall to try and take some of that water away. That's not 100% fix or cure. Sloping the ground away from the house and getting the water to move away on the surface is your best bet for success to keep the water out and away. It's not 100% guaranteed that that will absolutely fix or eliminate the need for the sump pump, but it will, but it could, and it will eliminate, it'll limit how much that system has to work.
Right. It's literally a certain spot. It's a tiny spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to say it, but it's leaked twice since they came to fix it. Of course, I want to save some money. So if, you know, my process of elimination is to work on the outside of the landscaping first before another major project potentially.
Yes, I would 100% agree with taking that path. If you can redo landscape, get it to slope away, if there's any gutter drains, downspouts that come down that just dump water near the foundation, anywhere near that area, I would pipe those underground and get them 10, 15, 20 feet away from the house where that water disperses to the ground. Move that water away from the outside, and you very well might not need the sump pump on the inside if that's successful and the water moves away and it's just not getting there anymore.
Gotcha. I just things to think about.
Yeah.
Until come up with a solution.
Yep. I did this exact same thing at my last house out in O'Fallon, where I had probably four cracks in the foundation. Normal cracks. They happen. They're shrink cracks.
Right.
They happen at the corners of the windows. The epoxy injection will keep the water out of them. And I had a couple of the cracks where, you know, I did get a little bit of water every now and then. And when we purchased the house and moved in, within like the next year, I had regraded outside. I got everything sloping away. I completely fixed that water from coming in from the outside and never had an issue for about 12 years. And then when I went to move,
of course,
and sell the house, they inspected it, looked at it, said, oh, there's been some water on these cracks. You should have them injected. And then I ended up getting them injected just so I could sell the house, even though it hadn't taken water in 12 years and I had corrected everything from the outside. But water will just work its way down. So if you have you have water coming in a crack 4 feet high on your foundation wall and you fill that crack and you stop that water if the water's still getting there, it's going to go somewhere else, and that's where you're now getting it from the hydrostatic pressure. It's just running downhill until it gets to the footings.
I honestly believe that's always been the issue because it's always been the same spot. And when we were in the drywall and everything, nothing was wet. I was worried about mold. There was nothing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so is the other thing I would think about is if there's a way you can create access to keep checking that spot once you've done the outside work, like an access panel that where you can see into the wall, or a piece of base trim that you can pop off real easy and look into the wall just to check it after wet seasons and make sure you're not getting anything that you don't know about. That would be good.
Well, the telltale sign is I pull up my carpet.
Yeah. Carpet gets wet. And
yes.
Yep. Yep. No, I think you're on a very good path, Maria. I think it's definitely a good direction. And I always take my clients there and to understand, here's everything that's happening. Here's what can be done outside. Here's what may need to be done inside. Here's the likelihoods. And always start from the outside if you can.
Okay.
All right.
I will do. I thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Great call. Great question. Appreciate the conversation. We've got one more segment here left for everybody. Again, you can join me at 314-436-7900. We'll have time for another call or two after this break. When we return, don't change that dial. All right, we are back. Final segment. Got time to squeak in a call or two here. If you have anything going on, any curiosity, question, comments, concerns, right here about your home, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. And from Maria, from the last call, what I'm always trying to explain to everyone when we talk about these water issues and we consider how to make the home better to protect from water coming in cracks from the foundation wall, water getting underneath your footings, needing a sump pump. Imagine the easiest way, of course, and you put in the sump pump, you get everything running, it's going to pick up the water, it's going to send it outside. Once you get it outside, if you do kind of like that downspout piping, you pipe that away from the house, get it at least 10 feet, maybe 20 feet or so away from the house where it's dispersing out onto the grade, that protects that. But if you think about all that water running around your footing, underneath the footings of the home, and you consider why we... All right, we're back. Camo X Home Improvement Show. Everything you need around and about your house, inside and out. We can help you out. Give us a call today, 314-436-7900. And we've got Maria on the line. Thanks for holding through the break. Maria, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, you are welcome.
So, I use a reputable basement company because I had a leak in a part of my basement floor. And it's a small leak.
Okay.
Very rare leak. So when they came in, they repaired the walls. There were some cracks. The home inspector, the city of O'Fallon said that, you know, I caught it in time. However, after I had the drywall reinstalled, it leaked again. It's at the bottom of where the wall meets the floor. And then when I report, the company's really responsive.
Uh-huh.
So he's something about hydrostatic. I can't think of the word.
Yeah, hydrostatic pressure.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're going to come back to figure out how to resolve this issue. But I'm just wondering, with my fixing the landscaping on the outside, because I know it slants towards the wall, Would that help, or what do you think the solution is going to be with,
so,
with them fixing that leak?
Yeah. So let me ask you real quick. When they fixed the wall, do you know what they did to the wall? Did they do an epoxy injection on the crack?
Epoxy injection to the cracks. I have four metal plates installed and tied down, you know, outside.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah, basically the answer from the inside for the foundation repair company is going to be a sump pump.
Because I have a sump pump at the other corner of the house.
You have one at the other corner of the house?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know if it has a perimeter drain that runs all the way around the whole basement?
That I don't know. I'm not the original homeowner.
Okay. So it may not. So they may have used it just on one part of the house and put some drain tile to get some water away. It's very common that they'll do one wall or two walls just where the issues are occurring. So that may have happened prior, and if it doesn't run all the way around the basement, it won't pick up the water with the hydrostatic pressure from the other side. But your thoughts on the landscape are a very good idea, because water's going to run to the path of least resistance. When it gets down around the footings, the hydrostatic pressure happens, and it comes up from underneath the floor, and it's because of the weight of the concrete, the house, the walls, the foundation. The weight pushing down forces the water up. So it comes in between the wall and the floor, and that's what your sump pump's meant to do. They run the pipe through there. It goes over to a pit. There's a sump pump that sends the water out. So the least resistance for that pressure now is inside that pipe with holes in it, and then the water goes to the pit and off it goes. If you can stop or eliminate the water from getting there, that would also correct it. So it's definitely a good idea. If it's possible, you could do some French drains outside along the foundation wall to try and take some of that water away. That's not 100% fix or cure. Sloping the ground away from the house and getting the water to move away on the surface is your best bet for success to keep the water out and away. It's not 100% guaranteed that that will absolutely fix or eliminate the need for the sump pump, but it will. But it could, and it will eliminate, it'll limit how much that system has to work.
Right. It's literally a certain spot. It's a tiny spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to say it, but it's leaked twice since they came to fix it. Of course, I want to save some money. So if, you know, my process of elimination is to work on the outside with the landscaping first, before another major project potentially.
Yes, I would 100% agree with taking that path. If you can redo landscape, get it to slope away, if there's any gutter drains, downspouts that come down that just dump water near the foundation, anywhere near that area, I would pipe those underground and get them 10, 15, 20 feet away from the house where that water disperses to the ground. Move that water away from the outside, and you very well might not need the sump pump on the inside if that's successful and the water moves away and it's just not getting there anymore.
Gotcha. I just, things to think about.
Yeah.
Until they come up with a solution.
Yep. I did this exact same thing at my last house out in O'Fallon, where I had probably four cracks in the foundation, normal cracks. They happen. They're shrink cracks. Right. They happen at the corners of the windows. The epoxy injection will keep the water out of them. And I had a couple of the cracks where, you know, I did get a little bit of water every now and then. And when we purchased the house and moved in, within like the next year, I had regraded outside. I got everything sloping away. I completely fixed that water from coming in from the outside and never had an issue for about 12 years. And then when I went to move,
of course,
and sell the house, they inspected it, looked at it, said, oh, there's been some water on these cracks. You should have them injected. And then I ended up getting them injected just so I could sell the house, even though it hadn't taken water in 12 years and I had corrected everything from the outside. But water will just work its way down. So if you have you have water coming in a crack 4 feet high on your foundation wall and you fill that crack and you stop that water, if the water's still getting there, it's going to go somewhere else, and that's where you're now getting it from the hydrostatic pressure. It's just running downhill until it gets to the footings.
I honestly believe that's always been the issue because it's always been the same spot. And when we were in the drywall and everything, nothing was wet. I was worried about mold. There was nothing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so is the other thing I would think about is if there's a way you can create access to keep checking that spot once you've done the outside work, like an access panel that where you can see into the wall, or a piece of base trim that you can pop off real easy and look into the wall just to check it after wet seasons and make sure you're not getting anything that you don't know about. That would be good.
Well, the telltale sign is I pull up my carpet.
Yeah. Carpet gets wet.
Yes.
Yep. Yep. No, I think you're on a very good path, Maria. I think it's definitely a good direction. And I always take my clients there and to understand, here's everything that's happening. Here's what can be done outside. Here's what may need to be done inside. Here's the likelihoods. And always start from the outside if you can.
Okay.
All right.
I will do. I thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Great call. Great question. Appreciate the conversation. We've got one more segment here left for everybody. Again, you can join me at 314-436-7900. We'll have time for another call or two. After this break, when we return, don't change that dial. All right, we are back. Final segment. Got time to squeak in a call or two here. If you have anything going on, any curiosity, question, comments, concerns, right here about your home, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. And from Maria, from the last call, what I'm always trying to explain to everyone when we talk about these water issues and we consider how to make the home better to protect from water coming in cracks from the foundation wall, water getting underneath your footings, needing a sump pump. Imagine the easiest way, of course, and you put in the sump pump, you get everything running, it's going to pick up the water, it's going to send it outside. Once you get it outside, if you do kind of like that downspout piping, you pipe that away from the house, get it at least 10 feet, maybe 20 feet or so, away from the house where it's dispersing out onto the grade, that protects that. But if you think about all that water running around your footing, underneath the footings of the home, and you consider why St. Louis homes end up needing foundation piering, it gets wet, the ground swells, it lifts, it kind of pushes up, it lifts things. When we get into a drought, now your sump pump's not really needed so much. the ground shrinks, it's dry, that's when things start to settle. So if you consider getting this water away from the outside of the home and running away, if you can even take 60% or 70% of the water away that a sump pump is going to handle, you might possibly eliminate the need for future peering of that home's foundation. That's just a great thing, and you can work on that from the outside with the right soil, maybe French drains, collecting water from outside, running it to where it needs to go. And this is why a lot of our municipalities now, when we add on to a home of a certain square footage of adding, a lot of different municipalities now, they make you look at the water. Where's it going? What's it doing? And they're forcing us to control that. We need to get engineers to look at what size pit and what do we have to do out into the ground, because they want us to help manage, contain, and then get rid of all of that excess stormwater runoff that's basically destroying everything downstream, downhill. And so they're getting into a lot of that, of managing that. And it's a good thing. It adds to projects. It raises the investment. But it's still a great thing to manage and know that you're not hurting your neighbors or someone even further downstream that you really might not even have any idea that you might be affecting, because you added on a big addition and concrete patios and you took away so much green space for water to go to the ground, to grade, to work. It could affect others, so they're starting to get that in there. Another thing we're looking at is how to put ductwork into an attic or a crawl space. In a lot of areas now, the municipalities are starting to require units that don't leak air, sealing up the ductwork, even testing the ductwork to say, yep, we did this. We had a company come in. They did a pressure test. We know it's only leaking 2 or 3% of allowable air, and that's good. And again, it's making it better, but it's raising investments. It's causing more work and a lot more to be done, but it's good protections for everybody and makes your home and your life better, more comfortable, and everything. We got Dale on the line. Let's get right to Dale and see what we can do. Dale, can you hear me? You there?
I'm here, and thank you. I appreciate your service. I have been listening, and actually, I'm drinking a beer right now, and I think that I am not understanding, and I'm sure I am understanding, but a lot of people are not understanding. You've used the terminology twice, a French drain. Now, how is a French drain different than a Portuguese drain? South African drain. What the hell is that? And I'd appreciate that, and thank you very much.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the call and the question. So a French drain on the outside of the house is basically a trench in the ground that you put rock in, you put a pipe in, so it kind of matches the actual perimeter drain underneath the basement floor that they put in around the perimeter of the basement. So you dig a trench, say 1 foot wide, 1 foot deep. You've put so much rock in it, and you put the pipe in it, and you run that downhill.
Is the pipe perforated?
Yes. So the pipe would have perforations.
All right.
And it will collect the water that gets there and run it through the pipe downhill and away from where that water is collecting. So sometimes it's good to do that more at the front edge. We do it a lot against the foundation and the walls, but if you could do it at the front edge of the landscape to make everything go towards it and catch water before it's getting close to the foundation,
right,
and move it away, it's a great thing to do.
And is that different than a Spanish drain?
Yes.
Never mind, and thank you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I appreciate the call and the question. And, yeah, it's definitely a good thing to know and understand. When you do a French drain, you surround that pipe with rock. You put a cloth around that pipe. There are pipes out there that they make that come ready to go, where it's the pipe inside of it. It's got kind of the styrofoam peanuts around it, and it's covered in a ground cloth, and you put that in the ground, and that's works out to be the whole French drain system. And you cover that, you need 4 inches of soil on top of it to get grass growing. But I also recommend, if you can do rock on top of that instead of growing grass, the water will run down through the rock, through the ground, and get to that pipe so much better, smoother, faster, quicker. Just it will work better, what we call like a dry creek bed, where rock that thing all the way to the surface. Just make this top surface two, three inches of rock, something decorative that looks nice with your landscape. So if it's not mulch or it's not grass or it's not dirt, that will slow the water down. If it's rock all the way up, you'll get that water down into that pipe so fast. It will work so much better. So there's better ways to do basically everything. A better way to do a French drain, a better way to side a house, wrap it, flash it, dry your house in, managing Mother Nature and water and her ability to tear your house down is what we all need to do. So, hey, had a great time. Great list of callers, questions. Appreciate everybody. For everybody, I'll talk to you next week. And from here on, be good to your homes. All right, we are back. Final segment. Got time to squeak in a call or two here. If you have anything going on, any curiosity, question, comments, concerns, right here about your home, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. And from Maria, from the last call, what I'm always trying to explain to everyone when we talk about these water issues and we consider how to make the home better to protect from water coming in cracks from the foundation wall, water getting underneath your footings, needing a sump pump. Imagine the easiest way, of course, and you put in the sump pump, you get everything running, it's going to pick up the water, it's going to send it outside. Once you get it outside, if you do kind of like that downspout piping, you pipe that away from the house, get it at least 10 feet, maybe 20 feet or so away from the house where it's dispersing out onto the grade, that protects that. But if you think about all that water running around your footing, underneath the footings of the home, and you consider why St. Louis homes end up needing foundation piering, it gets wet, the ground swells, it lifts, it kind of pushes up, it lifts things. When we get into a drought, now your sump pump's not really needed so much, the ground shrinks, it's dry, that's when things start to settle. So if you consider getting this water away from the outside of the home and running away, if you can even take 60% or 70% of the water away that a sump pump is going to handle, you might possibly eliminate the need for future piering of that home's foundation. That's just a great thing, and you can work on that from the outside with the right soil, maybe French drains, collecting water from outside, running it to where it needs to go. And this is why a lot of our municipalities now, when we add on to a home of a certain square footage of adding, a lot of different municipalities now, they make you look at the water. Where's it going? What's it doing? And they're forcing us to control that. We need to get engineers to look at what size pit and what do we have to do out into the ground, because they want us to help manage, contain, and then get rid of all of that excess stormwater runoff that's basically destroying everything downstream, downhill. And so they're getting into a lot of that, of managing that. And it's a good thing. It adds to projects. It raises the investment. But it's still a great thing to manage and know that you're not hurting your neighbors or someone even further downstream that you really might not even have any idea that you might be affecting, because you added on a big addition and concrete patios and you took away so much green space for water to go to the ground, to grade, to work. It could affect others, so they're starting to get that in there. Another thing we're looking at is how to put ductwork into an attic or a crawl space. In a lot of areas now, the municipalities are starting to require units that don't leak air, sealing up the ductwork, even testing the ductwork to say, yep, we did this. We had a company come in. They did a pressure test. We know it's only leaking 2 or 3% of allowable air, and that's good. And again, it's making it better, but it's raising investments. It's causing more work and a lot more to be done, but it's good protections for everybody and makes your home and your life better, more comfortable, and everything. We got Dale on the line. Let's get right to Dale and see what we can do. Dale, can you hear me? You there?
I'm here, and thank you. I appreciate your service. I have been listening, and actually I'm drinking a beer right now. And I think that I am not understanding, and I'm sure I am understanding, but a lot of people are not understanding. You've used the terminology twice, a French drain. Now, how is a French drain different than a Portuguese drain? A South African drain. What the hell is that? And I'd appreciate that, and thank you very much.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the call and the question. So a French drain on the outside of the house is basically a trench in the ground that you put rock in, you put a pipe in. So it kind of matches the actual perimeter drain underneath the basement floor that they put in around the perimeter of the basement. So you dig a trench, say 1 foot wide, 1 foot deep. You've put so much rock in it, and you put the pipe in it, and you run that downhill.
Is the pipe perforated?
Yes. So the pipe would have perforations.
All right.
And it will collect the water that gets there and run it through the pipe downhill and away from where that water is collecting. So sometimes it's good to do that more at the front edge. We do it a lot against the foundation and the walls, but if you could do it at the front edge of the landscape to make everything go towards it and catch water before it's getting close to the foundation and move it away, it's a great thing to do.
And is that different than a Spanish drain?
Yes.
Never mind, and thank you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I appreciate the call and the question. And, yeah, it's definitely a good thing to know and understand. When you do a French drain, you surround that pipe with rock. You put a cloth around that pipe. There are pipes out there that they make that come ready to go, where it's the pipe inside of it. It's got kind of the styrofoam peanuts around it, and it's covered in a ground cloth, and you put that in the ground, and that's works out to be the whole French drain system. And you cover that. You need 4 inches of soil on top of it to get grass growing, But I also recommend if you can do rock on top of that instead of growing grass, the water will run down through the rock, through the ground, and get to that pipe so much better, smoother, faster, quicker. Just it will work better, what we call like a dry creek bed, where rock that thing all the way to the surface. Just make this top surface two, three inches of rock, something decorative that looks nice with your landscape. So if it's not mulch or it's not grass or it's not dirt, that will slow the water down. If it's rock all the way up, you'll get that water down into that pipe so fast. It will work so much better. So there's better ways to do basically everything. A better way to do a French drain, a better way to side a house, wrap it, flash it, dry your house in. Managing Mother Nature and water and her ability to tear your house down is what we all need to do. So, hey, had a great time. Great list of callers, questions. Appreciate everybody. For everybody, I'll talk to you next week. And from here on, be good to your homes.